This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Sally Nichols. Welcome back to Drive.
Oh, it's so good to be back. I missed you, Warren.
Oh, we missed you too. And it's not too late to say Happy New Year, is it? No.
Not at all.
On Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day, and I think we do need to reclaim it back. Oh, I really do.
We are going to start that very shortly at the end of your segment, and I'm going to claim it back today because I'm sick of hearing all the, you know, love songs and dedications everywhere. And then, like everyone I know, their doorsteps were empty this morning. There were no flowers.
Oh. but I was looking at it today because I was thinking about all the people who, you know, might be going through a separation, particularly, you know, clients. But if you look at St. Valentine's Day, it was actually the story of the patron saint of love. There was a Roman priest who actually performed secret weddings for those who were disenfranchised and persecuted. So St. Valentine fought for love and inclusiveness and brought hope and happiness to many.
Oh, he said, so lovely, and I'm going to destroy it.
We need to reclaim that. We need to reclaim. It doesn't necessarily need to be about romantic love, but the fact is you feel love for friends, family, and community. And, we think of this patron saint stood for inclusiveness. I was happy with that today.
Have you had any heart chocolates or anything like that? They're everywhere.
From my son before.
Oh, that's accepted.
Yeah,
that's
the spelling errors in his card were a bit confronting, but it was actually, the sentiment was there, so that was really, really lovely.
Now, Sally, before we get on to today's topic, I think you have to give a bit of a shout out to someone.
Oh, yes, you've got his Uber fan, honestly. And so Greg, the wonderful proprietor of Conrad's Hair, was giving me a blow wave to appear on radio today, obviously. I was going to look very glam in the office today or in the studio today. And he said, oh, my gosh, I just heard they're going to be on with Warren, and I just love Warren. Aww. He's got the most lovely voice. I said, well, he's a lovely person too. So you have got a fan. Your reach, Joy, is everywhere. So how lovely is that?
That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Now, Sal, let's get on to something a little bit more serious. Now, I understand that the commencement of the new school year, as while it's exciting for the kids, it can also pose some challenges, especially, I suppose, for separated or divorced families with school-age children. And I read the other day that parental separation affects 50,000 to 60,000 children in the country every year. So how does it all work when it comes to schooling and education if there is separation and divorce?
Oh, look, it's such a, I think everyone, separated or intact families, were celebrating the children coming back after summer holidays to school for many reasons, just to get that regulation back. But again, too, schools can be so regulating and good for families. But you can imagine when it does need a lot of coordination and consistency, and when you aren't necessarily reaching agreement on these types of issues that are really, really important issues and within the responsibility of both parents, then you even need to mediate and have a parenting plan. Or sometimes, sadly, there is, when there can't be an agreement, the courts become involved. And that's something that we all want to avoid if we can. But it is the reality if there is a disagreement.
What are some of the key issues that parents might disagree on when it comes to school for their kids? I mean, I'm sure it goes beyond just, you know, what's in the lunchbox.
Oh, look, absolutely. And haircuts. But we have had those. But it can be actually the actual school that the children attend. And some parents might passionately believe that one particular school will be superior. There might be issues in relation to the cultural, religious backgrounds of different schools. Some factors can also be referred on to, to psychologists at the school and pastoral care, but that can lead to conflict as well in relation to children. If they're going to see a therapist, for example, it needs to have the cooperation of both parents And the agreement of both parents. So all of these factors can be pretty tricky.
I was listening to the radio this morning and they were reading out a list of schools that weren't open today because of the storm damage and the power outages. And, you know, all these schools were being read out and I was thinking, oh, the kids will be going, yay, I don't have to go in. And then one school got read out and they said, look, years 10 to 12 don't have to go in because there's no power, but years 7 to 9, your swimming carnival is still on. You still have to go. And I thought, oh, I'd be so unhappy if I was one of those kids. But something like a swimming carnival can also be a point of disagreement, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. It can be, and just excursions, all those sorts of things. I mean, there are everyday matters that really parents should be able to agree upon or are really actually taking place whilst the children are in their care. But there are different issues that particularly if a child requires medical attention or even additional learning at school, attending the school as separated parents, do you have separate parental interviews or do you actually co-parent and arrive at the same time? It can be pretty difficult. And there can be parents who are in high conflict. There can even be in scenarios where one parent might have an intervention order against the other parent, and that can be particularly tricky when those parents want to attend school functions, for example, and school activities, when one parent actually has a family violence order against them, which restricts them being in their presence. There should be exceptions in relation to the children and in relation to schools, but I've actually had to advise schools on occasions where the schools actually don't have had to go to the magistrate's court themselves and have had to actually explain the conundrum that they've got families with multiple intervention orders against each other, but they want there to be an exception at school because the school can't actually enforce it. They're not a party and they really need to be able to run their school without having been inadvertently participating in a breach of an order, for example. So it can be very tricky for schools when there are those types of orders in place.
Sally, I'm just thinking of, you know, the school teachers. I mean, if I was a school teacher, I'd be really uncomfortable if these sorts of, I suppose, complicated disagreements were happening amongst the parents. Does the school and its teachers have a role to play in helping work these things out and making sure that what is agreed between the parents actually happens?
Well, they can't be the arbitrator, but I think it's really useful for them to have copies of any orders or parenting plans, and when they cooperate and work in with the school, that a lot of schools actually have separated parent policies, and I think that's a really good idea, and I think we have actually helped with those policies in the past, because what happens is when parents actually enrol their children in the school, they do need to sign up to that policy, for example, and that policy will actually set out the clear boundaries of what school will be involved in and not be involved in, for example. But often and frequently, when children, for example, are represented by their own lawyer and there's high conflict, the independent children's lawyer may actually go and speak to the schools and actually ascertain their opinion about how children are travelling and how they're actually presenting, and they can be a bit of an honest broker, but they're not actually there to arbitrate between the parents, and that can be, as you said, incredibly uncomfortable for them.
What about if one of the parents has taken out, say, an intervention order against the other parent? What responsibility does the school have then?
Well, they need to be aware that that's in place, and I guess that will impact in terms of collecting children, for example, if the child is actually an aggrieved family member. So if the child's not listed and it's actually one parent against the other, I think we're really looking at that separated parental policy, but the school being aware of the terms of it and whether or not the school is excluded, for example. Again, they're not there to police, but sometimes if the child actually is protected, and so, for example, should not be collected, of course the school must be compliant and must be made aware of that. Whether school or kindergarten or childcare centre will need to know who can actually collect children, for example.
Just on the collection of children, I know some parents use the school gate as a means of changing over in terms of who's looking after the kids. Is that a good thing to do? I know.
Look, I think my recommendation if there's high conflict is it's better actually, for example, if a child stayed over with one parent and they're to be returned, say, on the Monday night, it makes sense that that child's actually dropped off at school by the other parent Monday morning, and so then they're collected Monday evening by the other parent. So never the twain should meet. It's a sad situation that avoids that tension and conflict. So that would be what I would pragmatically recommend, be in the parenting plan or in court orders if they're necessary. I feel that it's pretty difficult to have changeover when there's high conflict and the two parents are in the same vicinity. So school can actually be quite good in that it's a safe place to drop the children off at the gates and then be collected by the other parent at the end of the day.
And I imagine too, like if you're in a high sort of conflict scenario and you're triggered, for example, and you're driving a car, I mean, it's pretty dangerous probably, you know, if you're not concentrating and you're around a school zone as well.
Oh, of course. Oh, look, absolutely. And actually, it's ironic that you should say that. I was actually reading an article the other day and about the importance of driver awareness, and it was a road safety concern that 1 in 20 drivers, according to this article, have been involved in a car accident or experienced a near miss within the proximity of a school zone. 1 in 20.
That's shocking. So I didn't realise it was so high.
Yeah, so it's something that it's, I mean, I just think of my own drop-offs with my kids. It can be pretty hairy, and people frustrated or heading off to work and distracted. So that's just a recent article about school zones and being aware.
So take care on the road. Take a breath.
Absolutely.
Drive carefully. Yes. Don't need to be in a rush. Sally, it's really good to chat with you again. Thanks for joining us. Important topic.
Oh, my pleasure.
Happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy your chocolate heart from your son.
Yes.
I think that's so sweet.
And you enjoy your Valentine's Day with your loved ones. With your loved furry friend.
I got fuzzy.
You enjoy fuzzy tonight.
Thanks, Sally. That is Sally.
Take care.
That's Sally Nichols, the managing partner at Nichols Family Lawyers.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.